The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
You know, he can hit a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start by him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killabrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, it is Sunday morning, and we have a full house here in our network headquarters here at Target Field. There's folks prepping for a Sunday of baseball, kids' opening day at the ballpark. A couple of Minnesota legends in studio. Jack Morris is here. Paul Molitor is here as the Twins try to win a series before we head to the Lone Star State. So, first of all, good morning, sir. How are we doing this morning? Great day for baseball. You wake up, blue sky.
Yeah, and, I'll tell you, yesterday was fantastic, and today is going to be another beautiful day for a game. And like you said, kids opening day, so that's always special. Jack, you ever part of one of those back in the day?
I don't remember those. I really don't.
They probably
were. You two were still kids when you made the big league, so I think that was that might have been a little took on a different meaning. One thing that's new today, and it's amazing we've gone this deep into the season without talking about it, is you have your first roster moves of the year. Mejia goes down as he labored again yesterday. Haley to the DL. What is your team going to look like when the dust settles?
We'll make some moves today. You know, it's funny. I think every spring we tell our guys, you know, when you send them out, you know, be ready. There's always a change in the first week. Well, next week I might have to change it to 3 weeks. But we did make a change. We're adding Buddy Beauchesne out to the bullpen. We talked, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about how fresh our bullpen was. And then a matter of a couple of days, they get expanded a little bit, and then you got to make some changes. So we'll welcome him. Mejia going back down. We still like that kid. I think we all feel that he was just maybe trying a little too hard to make an impression here early in the year. We'll get him into a regular routine down there. And then, of course, Kenny Vargas coming up. He's gotten off to a decent start down there. I think he's got a couple of homers, about 10 RBIs, and we'll give us some protection, not only with Joe and DHing, but, you know, having a big bat on the bench. With Haley going on the DL with that little shoulder bicep tendonitis, had to make a couple moves.
Paul, you're obviously with the Vargas move, it's just buying a little bit of time until that fifth guy in the rotation spot comes back up. I'm not asking you to predict what you're going to do there, but that's probably part of the thinking along that.
Well, I think the timing of everything, not that it's ever good when you have to make changes and people go on the DL and someone gets sent down, but the way it's set up here with the next couple of off days, we can go with a four-man until I think it's May 6th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about how that might shape up. Things change over the next 16 days or whatever it might be. Whether it's, you know, getting Mejia back up here or other guys that might be throwing down well. You know, we all know Duffy had a nice run as a starter at times, but he's been pretty valuable out in the bullpen. So, you know, we'll have a question to answer when we get to that point.
Last thought on Mejia before we move on to other topics. It is the Paul Molitor Show brought to you by Killabrew Root Beer. You know, you mentioned maybe it was just one of those, hey, first time in the big leagues, over anxious. It just seemed the pace with him. You know, the guy standing around a lot behind him. And is that something that every young pitcher has to work through at some point in time to kind of understand that what they do is good enough and not try to overdo?
Yeah, you know, a couple of quick comments. You know, yesterday's game was a commissioner's nightmare.
Oh,
you know,
boy,
we talked about pace of play and length of games. I think it was Mejia's 27th pitch that was put in play. Up to that point, he had either had walks or strikeouts. And, you know, that's just a lot of pitches to go with not one being hit to a position player. And, so there's a little pace issue with him. And just the fact that, you know, instead of trying to hit his spots, I think he was trying to throw it harder. And that's okay. You know, he's not a guy who's going to walk one per inning, which he's been averaging here through his first three starts. So we'll get him back on track.
One of the things that I've noticed, Paul, and it's become so obvious, is the way the starter starts the game gets through those first five innings. If it's a smooth, quick, efficient five innings, it seems like the game flows just so easy. You're set up for the bullpen late in such a better situation, and yet Mejia had two out of three kind of hiccups, and Kyle Gibson, same thing with pitch count anyway.
Yes.
It just creates a whole different thought process for you managing that bullpen?
It changes fast. You know, Phil had a short start last time, too. And, you know, so it compounds your problems when you're trying to navigate your way. And yesterday, obviously, still having a chance to win. So you're trying to not just get through the game. You're trying to make intelligent decisions where you can. You know, that people might question some things you do along the way to get through, but you're trying to navigate your way to keep the damage down and give your team a chance to come back and win. So, we were put in a position yesterday where we had to go through a lot of guys, and that definitely will have an effect on today.
That's manager Paul Molitor. It is the Paul Molitor Show. Again, Mejia back to Rochester. Haley to the disabled list. Kenny Vargas, Buddy Beauchesne joined the club today. We'll step aside. Come back more with Paul and Jack on your home for Twin Baseball. This is the Paul Molitor Show. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Paul Molitor, Jack Morris in studio. And just looking back, one more segment on yesterday's ballgame. We'll dust up in the middle. And we won't know for a while yet if you're going to be without Miguel Sano for any game. Certainly changed yesterday's ballgame in terms of what you had to do. After an incident like that, are you looking, now that you're a manager, are you looking afterwards to see kind of how your guys react to that? Do they channel their energy a certain way? How did guys stand up? What is in the aftermath of a dust-up like that? We haven't had many in the last 10 years here. What are you as a manager looking
at? Well, you know, Jack can speak to it, too, with his experience of, you know, dust-ups or altercations, whatever you want to call them. You know, my feeling is it's probably going to be turn the page. I think our guys should be energized to try to finish the homestand off. It hasn't been a very good homestand. I mean, we lost the series. White Sox, we could have won. Cleveland took care of us, and now we got to try to find a way to win today. I did think that right after that happened, there was a lot of energy, especially when we followed it up with the pinch hit double and cash in and tie in the game. But, you know, today, you want the guys just to come out and be able to do what they need to do to try to win and send our club off to Texas on a good note.
Yeah, for me, I just look at it, you know, both teams did what they thought they had to do, and I certainly cannot blame Miguel Sano one bit when a ball's behind his backside.
Right.
You know, he knows the intent of that pitch, and then a catcher throws his glove in his face, so, you know, what's the guy to do? I don't think – this is me, and if the commissioner was sitting right there, I'd look him right in the eye and say, no way do you touch that guy. He didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, baseball has its way of taking care of itself.
Yeah, they do. My comment on that was I've changed my tune a little bit about the whole potential suspension and whether McCann would be involved with that if they decided to target our guy. You know, he definitely caused the reaction, or he intensified what took place by him trying to get up into Miggy's face with his glove.
Now, I know, Paul, when you were with the Brewers, you guys and the Twins had quite a history of going back and forth on a couple of occasions. You two ever mix it up? Was there ever a Brewer... Brewer Tiger, where you guys wound up facing?
We were afraid of the Brewers. They had a lot of big guys. You know, we didn't have a mess with those guys. You know, we had a few. When I was with Detroit, we had a few with the Twins. And in all honesty, most baseball brawls are a non-event. It's a lot of chirping and a lot of slapping, and you grab a guy, and then you hope that it's not the right wrong guy.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, my pet peeve with the whole incident is – it's so obvious, and even the Tiger bench should have understood, there was never an intent that Jacoby Jones getting hit in the face. I mean, that's not by design at all. And so to retaliate when it was an accident doesn't make sense to me. I've always said that. I've always was able to get guys when I knew there was a reason to get a guy. But to me, that was not a reason.
Yeah, I get that. I think that there's probably two schools of opinion. No intent on Haley's part. If you're a player who gets hit in the face or in the head, yeah, you might be kind of hoping your team responds. So, you know, you can look at it a couple of different ways. But, you know, the way it escalated with, you know, what McCann did and how it took off, that was a little bit much.
Yeah, well, we'll move on from that today and look for a great day today, Fulmer versus Gibson. But before we take this break, you ever get hit in the head, Paul?
Yeah, I got hit three times. Still here.
Yeah,
a little goofy, but I'm here.
Not fun, right? Like, not fun at all.
Not too many after effects.
As a hitter,
well,
I mean.
Bad real quick. Yeah. Doc Gooden hit me in the head in the fourth inning, Ooh. And then the game got canceled before five innings because of rain, so I didn't even count.
So you technically didn't get hit in the head.
So.
Well, if you're going to get hit, why not by a guy throwing 800 miles an hour at that point in time? We'll take a break. Make sure that Paul clears the cobwebs out. We'll come back, talk about today's pitching matchup when we return on your home for Twins Baseball. This is the Paul Molitor Show. Happy Sunday to you. Jack Morris is here. Paul Molitor here. It's Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Bringing you the Paul Molitor Show every week. And a chance to win a series today for the Twins. It's been a long homestand, all in the division, and the Twins can come out of this stretch 500 in the division and on the season, 3-6 on the homestand. To do so, they have to beat Michael Fulmer and the Tigers. It's a rematch, guys. We saw this matchup in Detroit, and each of the starting pitchers had one big, ugly inning, a 40-pitch inning for Fulmer, a 30-pitch fourth inning for Kyle Gibson. Fulmer survived it. Gibson did not. What's the key for Kyle in getting over the hump in situations like that?
Well, you know, we're all trying to find ways to get him to figure out how to get through, you know, 5-6 innings and stay away from that crooked number. You know, I think we're all a little bit more optimistic coming out of camp the way he threw the ball. He was maybe our best starter down there throughout the camp. And, you know, he's just, you know, last time out, he didn't throw very many strike ones, and he had to pitch from behind, and off-speed wasn't as good, and he had to pay the price, you know. And so we're just hoping that he finds a way to attack and get ahead, and then the stuff plays so much better. Fulmer, on the other hand, you know, came on last year and had a heck of a first go-round. Power pitcher who can, you know, a little bit of reverse splits in that he kind of dominates lefties more than righties because he can really cut that ball in on their hands. But yeah, we're gonna give it a go. Hopefully, you know, we have to ride with Gibby a little bit today because we're gonna be a little bit short, and we'll see what happens.
One of the things I see with Kyle is pitch count, and it's a consistency with him, and equates obviously to what you just said: first pitch strikes, being behind in counts, and stuff like that. But it's got to be a different look for him without Miguel Cabrera in the lineup.
Well, I think that's you know, you don't like to see, you know, the game's good players go down, but it changes the look of their team. Even though Hicks stepped in there yesterday and they had a couple of big hits playing first base, I haven't seen their lineup today. I would imagine that Avila might be over there at first base today, however they decide. But, yeah, that's a big bat that you don't have to dance around.
You know, you saw Boyd for a second time yesterday, and you had a little more success against him. What can you take from seeing Fulmer last time out? I mean, you had him on the ropes, and to his credit, he was able to pull himself back out and keep swinging.
Well, the game he threw, we did have him on the ropes, and he had that long inning, and we were close to knocking him out of the game, and we just couldn't do it. He ended up getting through six, I believe. There's an argument about who has the advantage second time around in a short time frame, but you know, you just hope he makes some more mistakes, has maybe, you know, a little command trouble, and we can make him work and get his pitch count up as well.
Paul, you played in an era, and I played in an era, it seemed like the good starting pitchers, if you got to them, you got to them early, because once they found the rhythm and that, you know, they had a little bit better feel and command for the game. And yet today's game, it's all about pitch count, so getting them early, I don't know as though it has any more significance than any time you get them. But a guy like Fulmer, you had a chance early. We've seen it several times already this year where in the first couple innings, guys are a little inconsistent on the mound. And yet, how do you capitalize on that?
Well, you know, I think it's early in the year, we haven't had a lot of big hits. You know, when we've had opportunities early, first couple innings, we get, base runners and we can't cash them in. You know, with young players, you're still trying to get them to control their emotion, you know, not trying to, you know, hit that three-run homer, but just try to keep the line moving and get a base hit. And, you know, you see guys that take pretty good at-bats, and all of a sudden they get in those situations and they change a little bit. So we're just really trying to press that message of, you know, give yourself the best chance to get a hit. You know, don't – if he makes a mistake and you do some major damage, that's better, but let's try to keep it moving.
On that theme, you know, we saw Eddie get a big hit, and you said they'd been rare the other night. Max Kepler's been on a stretch here where he's been squaring balls up. And then there's Robbie Grossman, and you know, the ball took about 47 hops, but he hit it in the right spot. It seems like Robbie's giving you a competitive at-bat, no matter the situation, time in, time out. What does he do so well? What makes him successful with that approach thus far?
Well, you know, he's done a nice job. You know, DHing on an almost regular basis is probably something that's a little different for him, but that's where he's getting his playing time for the majority. And I just think that he's a guy who doesn't panic in the box. He's not afraid to take pitches. He, you know, does a nice job with two strikes of extending at-bats, and we all know he knows how to walk. So, but he's gotten some big hits, too. I think the other night was a perfect example. Verlander walks three guys, and you know, a guy like Justin is going to try to attack and get ahead of the next hitter, and he didn't hit it particularly sharply, but, you know, he was ready for a cutter in, and he got it through the hole. So You know, every day he's given us some good at-bats, and somehow he's contributing to our offensive output.
Another guy that I think has given you good at-bats, and you've pretty much put him everywhere in the lineup except leadoff, is Jorge Polanco. You know, here's a kid that just doesn't seem to be fazed by a whole lot. I don't see any intimidation by the good pitchers in the league. His defense has totally been adequate, if not a plus, since he's been put at shortstop, where that was originally a question mark. But his at-bats, both from the right side and left side, he seems to grind them out.
You know, he's played a good shortstop here through the first however many games, and it's been really good to see his confidence level grow. But I think offensively, Jack, he's a guy that he's a smart enough kid to have a plan each and every day for who he's going to face. Yeah, you can tell when he gets a little frustrated when he doesn't execute, but for the most part, I think he trusts that, and he tries to stick with it. You know, so far we've seen maybe a little bit better at bats when he's hitting right-handed. You know, today, to be honest with you, I'm not going to play him off this guy today. I want to kind of get Danny Santana in the game and Esco in the game and some different things that we're going to try to mix it up a little bit today. But he's been steady, and I'm comfortable hitting him in different spots just because I know he's going to have good at-bats.
That's Paul Molitor. Great insights as always. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We're back to wrap things up. One final segment on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. It's our final segment. Jack and Paul in studio. Always great to have everybody in one place. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Wrapping up a homestand today, and Paul, wrapping up a stretch in which you guys have played every single game. This will be 18 in a row against teams in the division. You've seen them all now, and you're going to see them all a bunch over the course of the year. Any surprises that have popped up one way or the other in what you've seen from the teams in your division?
Well, I hope our guys think that after having a chance to see these other teams early that we do stack up, and you know, there's no way to predict of how our starting pitching is going to sustain itself through the year and all those things that are going to be important components for how we intend to hang around. But, you know, the one thing that I can say, and, you know, I don't worry a lot about other teams, but Cleveland's good, you know, and we saw that. They swing the bats and they have a rotation and they got a bullpen that can be dominant. And they run the bases. They got a nice club. There's no question they went where they did last year because they can back it up. And we know that's going to be a tough battle throughout with those guys throughout the year. And the other teams, you know, we see their strengths, we see their weaknesses, we have some of those things too. But nothing strikes any fear into me about the fact that we're not going to be able to hang around in this thing.
Paul, as a player, I can tell you how I felt. I always felt that I wanted to play against the good teams. I wanted to try to match up against the good hitters to see where I stood. I felt that if I could get out the good hitters, I can get out anybody. And I felt that was a way of judging my progress in the big leagues. I know you as a player probably felt the same way. You'd rather play the good teams than teams that you had a real good time with.
Yeah, you know, I think that players, you hope, want to face the best. You know, I kind of had a tendency of maybe looking even too far ahead and, you know, getting excited about, you know, facing Nolan Ryan or, you know, Ron Guidry or Jack Morris or whoever it might be. I mean, those are the games that, you know, you lie in your hotel bed the night before and thinking about the matchups. I mean, that's the fun part of the game. You want to play the best.
Now, you guys have a chance to play with a series on the line here today. You mentioned you're going to change things up a little bit. I don't know if you've got that lineup in ink yet, but who are some of the faces we might see?
Well, you know, it's I want him to check with a few people. You know, Joe got inserted yesterday. I was trying to give him a blow yesterday, but I think he's going to be fine. We'll probably see him at first. Castro will be back in there. Probably Dozier, Escobar, and Sano in the infield, and Santana, Rosario, and Kepler in the outfield. And Robbie will be DHing.
One more thought on Kyle Gibson. Because of what happened yesterday with extending the bullpen, obviously you're going to have to be a little more lenient with Kyle's pitch count today, maybe. Hope that he just is efficient and gets deeper into the game.
Yeah, there's no question. What would you say, 200 pitches maybe? The limit for today? So
I don't know if you can do that today in age, but I would definitely let him be out there for a while.
I would like to think, you know, you don't want to change what you do, but in his mind, he should be aware of where we're at and kind of take that as a personal challenge today.
Some teams, you know, match up a little bit better than others because they'll chase that sinker out of the zone. Some teams will wait and wait and wait you out. Where does Detroit fall? I feel like they're kind of a mix between some of the kind of the veteran guys who will funnel you into the zone and some of the younger guys who might swing at it.
A lot of experienced good hitters. I think when they face a guy that they know throws strikes, they're going to come out swinging. You know, Phil Hughes as an example. And other guys that they're going might be smart enough to try to work it. If I was on Detroit, I wouldn't change my game too much today, but I would certainly know that, hey, these guys might be a little bit beat up. Let's see if we can make this guy work.
The one guy in their lineup that I'm a little bit surprised because I saw such a terrible start for him last year is Justin Upton. He comes into Target Field, and he's kind of red hot right now, seeing the ball very well.
Yeah, he's hot. You think he's pitchable, but you got to be careful because he's going to hit mistakes really hard.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson, 3-for-3 against Gibson, Justin Upton in his career. Paul, great stuff as always. Look for a series win here today. It's a beautiful day for baseball and a great place.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
Yep. That's Paul Molitor and Jack Morris, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. This is just the start of a big day. We've got Inside Twins coming up in a bit. We've also got, of course, our pregame lineup card and first pitch, Gibson versus Fulmer. It's the Twins and the Tigers on your home for Twins baseball.